This is Susie from In His Shoes Ministries. What you're about to listen to was an episode of The Next Step with Father Vazquez. We thank you for downloading or picking up a CD copy of this audio broadcast. Here, Father Vazquez provides a very distinctive and consistent voice for Armenian Orthodoxy. It is the means for providing people an intelligent and practical answer to life's difficulties, based on the solid principles of love, faith and hope as expressed by our Lord Jesus Christ. We produce these shows every week for a vast audience, which includes those who are searching for practical and deeper applications of faith, to disenfranchised members of the church community, and of course, the neophyte, those who are discovering truths in ancient Orthodoxy. These broadcasts are available every week, free of charge, either as a podcast at epostle.net, Apple iTunes Store, and now on Blueberry. Our commitment at epostle.net is to provide a medium for apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe. So we invite you to turn up the volume and get ready to take the next step.
Hey, this is Father Vazquez, priest of the Armenian Church, welcoming you to The Next Step, a special edition of The Next Step on the eve of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross, 9/11. It's this Sunday. Well, we are here to look at 9/11, look at the cross, look at the very fabric of our being through the lens of ancient Armenian Orthodoxy, polished up in a new manner. We call that polish Armedoxy, and we're inviting you to take a look. The Next Step is part of the expanding vision of the In His Shoes mission and brought to you by epostle.net. If you're ready, let's take the next step. I am so glad you are joining us today. We've got a great next step for you. It is an exciting one because it is an exciting time of life. Exciting in the sense that, well, we have options, and options that, you know, sometimes people look at these difficult times and they say that, oh, how terrible. But it is terrible if you feel helpless. But I think that's the power of strength of prayer, of faith, of being able to realize that, well, our destinies are not predetermined, but we have an opportunity to take control of life. We're going to be talking about that in a few minutes because some very disturbing things happened, and I want to share it with you. But also, we are on the eve of 9/11. And that's happening this Sunday, and of course, it also happens to be one of the major feast days of the Armenian Church, the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. There you go. How do you like that, okay? In the first few minutes of the show, I've already brought you ancient Armenian Orthodoxy, exaltation, and made it relevant to 9/11. Huh? I should stop while I'm ahead right now. No. I'm not going to take the easy way out. But it is important to make these ties because faith is not something that just exists in textbooks or in Bibles, in scriptures. It exists today. And if you can't make that connection between your faith and what's going on in the world, then that faith is worthless. It's useless. And I want to share some thoughts that I've had over the past few days because a lot of stuff has happened. A lot of stuff has happened. And of course, right in front of us is the anniversary of 9/11. I know growing up, one of the things that people would always ask, or it was common to participate in a conversation about, where were you the day President Kennedy was shot? I mean, people of my generation remember specifically. I remember where I was. I was in second grade or perhaps third grade, but I remember specifically the teacher, and this is in public school, teacher coming into our room and saying, the president has been shot. I want everybody to put their heads down and pray for the president. Huh? Pray? Public schools? Yeah. Happened back in 1963. I was there. I remember specifically the events of those days about finding out how President Kennedy was shot. And that has changed my life. Changed it in the way that you're conscious that not everything is going to go the way you expect it to go, that even presidents come down. I remember another big event was the Challenger, the failing of the Challenger spacecraft. You remember when the shuttle, Challenger, it exploded. I'd never forget that day, watching those images, watching it go up to the heavens, as President Reagan so eloquently stated about those astronauts touching the face of God. I mean, changing that disaster into this opportunity. That was very special for me, a very special moment at that moment when I saw that. And I remember those words. Well, 10 years ago, I think every one of us remembers where we were when we heard the news of 9/11. Of these two huge jumbo jets smashing into these buildings and bringing them down. Watching the people escape, watching the tragedy, the carnage, and then watching another one just go down because a few brave souls got up and tried to fight the terrorists. And all of a sudden, our lives were changed. All of a sudden, we were introduced to this religion called Islam. I heard a man the other day speaking about Islam, and he says, you know, it was a Muslim, and he said, you know, the way that most Westerners learned about Islam was watching on TV two planes come smashing into a building and hearing that Islam was the reason for that. And so he was talking about how it's important to go beyond that. And I think everyone who remembers that day, everyone who has that capacity, that was around and has a memory of that day, remembers exactly the feelings of, in a sense, helplessness, the feelings of frustration, and the feelings of, yes, revenge, of how do we get revenge? How do we take control of this issue now that it's been taken out of our hands? It's been interesting because over the past week, I've had a few occasions for other events. Some very big event happened in our community, and it was a tragic event. It was a tragic event, one that could have been controlled and could have been prevented had people interfered and wanted to make a difference by interfering, okay? I think people did want to make a difference. And this is, it's a personal issue. It was a local issue. It had to do with a priest being deported. And people got on the internet, on Facebook, let's sign petitions. You know, folks, you can sign all the petitions you want. You're talking about immigration laws. You're talking about the United States government. And, you know, there are things that you've got to realize that you're not going to change. Yeah, maybe it does something for your frustration level to vent. Maybe it is cathartic to sign a petition. But I remember back in the Karabakh days when we were fighting for the independence of Karabakh. This is back in 1989, 1990. I remember attending a meeting in early 1990s, and this was with all the clergymen, and the primate of Karabakh was there. His Grace Bishop of Barkev, Mardirosyan, and he gave this eloquent account of what's going on in Karabakh and the need to really set it free. And the clergy started debating, like, what should they do, you know, and he asked for prayers. And well, somebody got up and he said, let's write letters to the government. It's a group of clergy, they're going to write letters to the government. And I'll never forget this. This was Bishop Hagop of blessed memory. He got up and he says, if you want to do nothing, write a letter. If you want to do nothing, write a letter. Wow. Profound, huh? Seriously, if you want to do something, you've got to take action. And what's really hurting me many times is our feelings of helplessness. People feeling helpless, like we cannot make a difference, especially when it gets on the side of big events, national events, global events, such as the tragedy of 9/11, such as terrorism. What can I do? And it filters down to the small things, where you have an opportunity to make a change in the life of somebody, in the life of a family, in the life of a community, and you sit back and you kick back, and here's the answer that we give: it's God's will. And I guess it works for people. Obviously, I could see how it's, you know, it can soothe somebody. It scapegoats, it gets rid of the hassle of being responsible. Yes, the hassle of responsibility. It gets rid of that. And it throws it on somebody else. Somebody who has big shoulders, and God's shoulders are certainly big. Throw it on him. It's his fault. It's God's will. And you can believe this stuff if you want to. It's certainly not what Jesus taught. What did he say? he actually got down into it, right? He could have kicked back and said, okay, it's God's will that everybody gets messed up. He said, no. He says, I'm going to come down and I'm going to show you what God's will is. His will is a path of love, which means responsibility, which means compassion, which means sacrifice. And not only am I going to teach it to you, but I'm going to live it. I'm going to live a path of love, of compassion, and sacrifice, ultimately, to give myself up to you. I mean, Jesus certainly could have sat back and said, well, it's God's will. But he didn't. And it's important to recognize this, that this is the call for every Christian, is not to just sit back and scapegoat and say somebody else's problem. Do you remember back in the late 1970s? And if you don't, check this out. Okay, you're not going to believe it when I say it, so please do a Google search for Twinkie defense. This is true. It's so absurd that you're not going to believe it. But this is a true story. It happened right in San Francisco. San Francisco supervisor Milk and Mayor Moscone were shot down. And the defense that was used, I believe the guy's name was White, the defense that they used was called the Twinkie defense. That basically because he ate these sugar-filled Twinkies that it affected him. And so he wasn't responsible for his actions because of the food that he ate, namely Twinkies. It's true. Scapegoating. It's not my problem. I have no control over it. It's the food made me do it. It's not my problem. I have no control over it. It's God's will. Do you see where the danger is in all that? It relieves responsibility. Hey, global warming, who cares about it? I'm going to keep driving the way I do. I'm going to keep using the resources that I use because it's God's will. If it's God's will that we, you know, get drowned in a sea of sweat, if it's God's will that we should experience all these traumas and cancers, nothing I could do about it. The same thing about wars. Hey, it's God's will, right? It's God's will that there's a genocide taking place. Not much I could do about it. I mean, where does it end? At some point, you need to take control of it. You need to take responsibility for your actions. That's what I'm going to talk about in a few minutes, because I believe that this ties in with the feast that's coming up. Now, this is so important to me. I hope you can understand how important it is, because it ties in the ancient Armenian Orthodox tradition, which is not something about Vartan Mamigonian and something about Nerses Shinorhali. It's not something about genocide. It's something about a living God who loves you in your life today. And you have an opportunity to shoot out. You have an opportunity to react to the world. Okay, this is wild. And we're going to be talking about it in a few minutes. I want to kick it off with the song of the day. I've picked out a really beautiful number, kind of to reflect the mood we're in, kind of to reflect the topics we're going to be talking about today. It is a song by Roberta Flack. I've had a chance to see her in concert. Eloquent voice, just an incredible personality on stage, and just makes it come alive in her music. This is a song called I Told Jesus. When we get back, we're going to be talking about the elevation of the cross. We're going to be talking about 9/11, terrorism, what is the answer, and is there an answer? And I've been asked to talk about that this Sunday. I'm going to give you a little bit of a preview on that, too. And, of course, we're going to be answering the ultimate question that everyone's asking. What is compass? I know you're looking forward to that, aren't you? It's all coming up today. Here is Roberta Flack with today's song of the day, specially picked out for today. I Told Jesus.
I told Jesus. Be alright. If you change my name, I told Jesus, be alright. If you change. Told Jesus, be all right, be all right. Be all right. I told Jesus, be all right. He changed my name. Said the world will turn away from you, child, by changing it. Yes, he told me. Said the world will turn away from you, child, by changing. I told Jesus, be all right, be all right, be all right. I told Jesus, be told me he said your father won't know your child if I change your name. Yes, he told me said your mother won't know your child.
Jesus. I hope you liked it. Hope it gives you a little insight of where I'm coming from today. I know, it was kind of a little bad recording. The recording wasn't that great. We'll put a link on our show notes, definitely, like we always do, to all of the music we play over here. So you could check it out, so you can go there and pick up a copy of it. And hopefully the copy you get will be a little bit better quality. And I appreciate it, Ken. I know you tried. But her voice, it stirs me up. And, you know, this idea of change, of being changed by faith, is very important at times like this, times at 9/11. And I know this is the 10th anniversary, and I'm not really big on these anniversaries of doing, you know, the 9th anniversary is equally as important as the 8th, as the 7th, as the 17th. But, of course, 10, we are obsessed with these round numbers. We like to say that this is 10 years, 10 years later. And why not? It gives us another chance to stop and think and contemplate. It gives us an opportunity to really reflect on how we have been changed. I think we have all been changed by 9/11. It would be absurd to think that we aren't. I remember at one of my sons at Sevon's baccalaureate speaking. They asked me to address the audience, and I remember speaking and reflecting for a moment. This was in 2007, and I thought about it, and his whole class began high school in 2003. And for 4 years, this class had not known a world without war. They had not known a world where their government was not engaged in a war. It was actually 2003 that we were involved heavily in Afghanistan, in Iraq, and we were fighting. There we were, 2007, 4 years this class had gone through, and here we are in 2011. Still, these wars prevail. And so you've got basically 10-year-olds that have never known a world without war, have never known what it was like before 9/11, pre-9/11. And many of us will define our lives, especially when you get to an airport, especially when you get into big public gatherings. You will define life as pre-9/11 and post-9/11. It has changed. It has changed the way we work, the way we live, our suspicions, our prejudices, the way we look at people, the way we judge people on the outside. And like I said, I spoke at 2007 and I addressed the congregation, I addressed a group of parents and graduates and said that you've never known a life, a high school, without your country being at war. And automatically, that was assumed to be as subversive or a statement against the United States rather than just a statement of fact. You know, and that my call at that time, as it is today, is can we take this as a challenge to strive for peace, to really make peace our goal? Is peace attainable? Or like I said earlier, it's just very easy to throw it on God and say, you know, thy will be done. And if you want peace, let there be peace. As for me, I'll just kick back and hope that everything works out. And then I could meet you up in the air. I could meet you up in the clouds in a place called heaven. And everything will be really great. Because then we can look down on the rest of the world and say, hey, too bad you didn't believe what I believed. Well, folks, it doesn't work that way. I mean, Jesus says it straight out. He says, people are going to come up to me and say, Lord, Lord, we knew you. He's going to say, I don't know who you are. Just because you called me Lord? Did you help people? Did you care for people? I mean, do a reading. It's in Matthew chapter 25. He says it straight out. He says, I don't know who you are. Yeah, you can call me Lord. You can call me Jesus. You can say, oh, I love the Lord. And I'll say, I don't even know who you are. I mean, it's always interesting. How come this chapter doesn't get the airtime all the other chapters do? We're really quick on saying, oh, you have to know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, otherwise you're condemned to hell. You've got to profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And if you don't say these magical words, you're not going to heaven. Jesus doesn't say anything like that. What he does say is, I was hungry and you fed me. I was tired and you gave me a place to sleep. I was in prison and you visited me. I was naked and you clothed me. Whenever you do it for the least of my brothers, you do it for me. He equated all of us, the least of my brothers, into a statement that you've got to understand it is all of us in this planet. that every war that is fought in this world is a civil war in the eyes of God. What does that mean? If we are all God's children, and I know you believe that. I know the strangest of people believe that. All wars are civil wars in the eyes of God. Sure, if I'm a creation of God, and the other guy is a creation of God, and the other country is a creation of God, these are my brothers and sisters. And if I fight them, I'm fighting a civil war, because the whole planet, the whole earth, is one civilization. And we have no other way of explaining it. We've set up boundaries when God says, forget those boundaries. What I want to refer to you as is my children. And that's why Jesus says, when you do it for the least of my brothers, you've done it for me. It's very simple. And so at what point do we take that leap ourselves and say that, hey, my life has to have a meaning. It has to be reflected. I mean, doesn't it bother you every time somebody talks about Christianity, it's in these negative terms? And I was listening last week here in America, they have this very popular TV show called Dancing with the Stars. And this year they have selected Cher's son to be one of the dancers. Now, I remember when he was born a she. Her name was Chastity Bono. She was born to Sonny and Cher. And through the years, she had issues with her sexuality. And she went and she has transformed today. She is known as Chaz Bono. I don't know the details of what took place. I don't know about operations. All I know is that he's standing there as a man now, is the same person, and now he has changed his identity and he is a man. So here's the interesting thing. All of a sudden, they are protesting that this man should not be allowed to participate in this show about Dancing with the Stars. And I guess he's the star. Now, listen to this, okay? And listen really carefully. I really don't care if anybody protests. You know, if you've got nothing else to do in life and that's your lot in life to protest, that is your business. Protest all you want. Hit your head against the wall. Write it up on Facebook, okay? Hopefully people will see it and you can do something. Okay, that's your business. But what I do, what really irritates me, irks me, is when they do it in the name of Christ. And you've got a group of Christians and saying, we as Christians should boycott watching Dancing with the Stars because this man is being allowed to dance. Now, that is not a... See, you can't exclusively take claim to Christianity. That bothers me. That is not what I believe. That's not what I believe most Christians believe. But a small group of people will get up with a large voice and make this claim that Jesus would be against Chaz Bono dancing in Dancing with the Stars. Let me repeat that, okay? Jesus Christ, Savior of the earth, will be upset that Chaz Bono is dancing in Dancing with the Stars. And therefore, you as a child of God, as a Christian, must object likewise and not watch, actually boycott this show, Dancing with the Stars, because they have selected Chaz Bono to be one of the dancers. Now, you want to believe this? You can do that with your lips. You can even...
I'm trying to think, but nothing happens.
Yeah, thank you. It's silly. It's silly. Folks, there's wars in the world. There's people dying. There's children dying of hunger. There's genocide taking place in the world. There's inequality all around us. There's injustice taking place in the world. It's silly to believe that Jesus would boycott a television show because a transgendered person is in it. You don't want to watch it. You want to object to it. That is your prerogative. You're welcome to spend your life and your waking moments any way you want to, but don't throw it on God. Because then all of a sudden what happens is we get thrown all into it. And the beautiful words of Christ are never remembered. The beautiful words of have compassion, of have love, of care for one another are never remembered. They remembered that, oh, Jesus, that's the guy that is against transgendered people dancing on ABC TV. You think that's funny. You think it's silly what I'm saying. But think about it. What is the message that keeps being thrown out over and over and over again? What do people understand Christians to be? Why do I spend so much time here talking about armadoxy? Because Jesus Christ connected us with a time, with the God energy that comes from the beginning of time. And you see it over and over in Scripture. Jesus talks about being connected to the true vine. He talks about having roots that are deep. Not about these superficial roots. Not about judging people. In fact, quite the opposite, isn't it? He says, first, remove the plank out of your own eye so that you could see the speck in your brother's eye. How come we don't remember these beautiful words when we're so quick to criticize other people? So quick to judge people? So quick to express our prejudices in this world? How come we don't remember that Jesus said something as beautiful as that? First, remove the plank out of your own eye, the log, the big 2x4 in your eye. Yeah, some of our 2x4s are 4x4s. We can't see the speck in our brother's eyes, and yet we're willing to call them out on it. And you see, we got back to 9/11 now. What happened? We all of a sudden judged a group of people based on the experiences of that dreaded day, that tragic day, when we woke up with the news of these two giant planes smashing into the World Trade Center. Terrible. Horrific. It was satanic. Yes, satanic. Because it was against the will of God. But they did it. And the answer is not to judge, but to stand up and say, I will work for justice. I want to make my voice and my life worth something in this world. And many people did. You saw firefighters. You saw policemen rushing to the scene. You saw in subsequent days people from different parts of the country rushing to New York to help. You saw in subsequent days people from throughout the world getting up and helping out the situation. Because these people said that it's not enough for me to say that that is their will. That is somebody else's will. My position in this world is to get out and to do something about it. They weren't concerned about the speck in their brother's eyes. They were concerned about living the best life that they could, in accordance with God's will, in accordance with what God wanted them to do. In other words, when you do this for the least of my brothers, you do it for me. It's important. And this is why I'm telling you over and over in this podcast that what we're trying to do over here through Armadoxy is really live out the faith that was given to us. Because I think that Armenian Orthodoxy, as well as all of Orthodoxy, as well as most of the Christian church, really missed the point that when Jesus came, it wasn't about him. It was about this message of love. I am the way, the truth, and the life. It's not about Jesus, the person. It is about Jesus, the incarnation of love. Love is the way. Love is the truth. Love is the life. No one goes to God unless you go through love, through the power of love. And Jesus Christ is the incarnation of that love. And if you understand that, then it starts making sense. Then you're able to transfer that into your own life. rather than just spitting out scripture. And I hate to use that word, but that's what it is sometimes. People memorizing scripture. And I've seen so many of them. It's ridiculous sometimes. Oh, well, my kid knows scripture. He's memorized it. I could get a parrot to memorize scripture. That doesn't make that parrot a Christian. Learn scripture. Study scripture. Follow scripture. But by doing so, it doesn't make you above the law. It doesn't make you any better than anyone else. It doesn't justify your prejudices. It doesn't give you the right to be prejudiced against someone else and say that that person is that way. It doesn't give you the right to judge. No, quite the opposite. Studying scripture, studying the words of Christ, teach you to be a child of God, who removes, first and foremost, the plank out of his own eye before he sees the speck in someone else's eye. And trust me, that's a process. It is a process to remove that plank. And that's the path we're on. That's the path we're all on. Now I'm going to take a break for a couple moments and come back. We're going to be talking about the elevation of the cross. I'm going to be talking about something that Susie has introduced in my thinking. Well, in my thinking brain, I'm trying to think and something's happening at least. I'm going to share with you a couple thoughts about, well, some dilemmas that are taking place all around us. But before doing that, I want to share with you, well, what's been going on at epostle.net. Something really exciting. Last week, I introduced you to the idea, well, to a new podcast that's coming out called Compass with Linda Zodoyan. And subsequently, we have a video. Make sure you do check out today's show notes and you can go right to the video and check it out. You can see what it's all about. But people have been asking me, what's going on over there? What is this compass? Well, before I tell you what that compass is, let me tease you a little bit more. Here's the teaser.
Hi, I'm Linda. I'm a lot of things to a lot of people. I'm a complete contradiction. I'm a Christian, an Armenian, a wife, a rebel, a mother, sister, daughter, and a friend. I come from a tradition of love and revolution. I seek change and growth and preservation. I seek my place in the Armenian church, my beautiful church that's touched my soul. Are you like me? A mother, father, a wife, a husband, a friend, a lover? Does it even matter? We're all looking for that spiritual compass. So join me, Linda Zadoyan, as we embark on a series of interviews exploring the Armenian Church, Orthodoxy, and our lives today.
Compass premieres this fall on Epostle.net. Exciting, isn't it? I'm excited. It's going to be good. It's really going to be good. This is starting like the gentleman said. It's going to start in the fall. And actually, right on the first day of fall, it's starting on the autumnal equinox. I believe it's the 23rd of the month, September 23rd this year. And along with putting the egg on its side and seeing if it'll stand on the equinox, we'll be able to see if we can stand that day. Actually, there's going to be a video component to it as well. You'll be able to enjoy Compass like a podcast, like you do the next step. In other words, download it, listen to it on your computer, on your MP3 player, listen to it in the car, just like you do the next step. But there will be a video component as well, and we're working out the details right now so that you'll be able to actually see, and much like the programming that we have with the Questions and Faith series, which, by the way, before I forget, next Wednesday evening, don't forget it, that's going to be 7:30 Pacific Standard Time. 7:30 in the evening, we start our Questions of Faith series. And this year, we're going to be looking at questions that divide us. While everyone's talking about unity, we're going to be looking at questions that divide us. Actually taking a look at the different churches, looking at what is the differences, what is the message that is coming out from the different churches. It is going to be an exciting series, and that begins next Wednesday, the 14th of September, and that will be streamed on epostle.net. You just go to the broadcast tab, and you could watch the streaming, and then, of course, everything that we do gets archived there as well. So it's not only only a question of watching it at that moment. Especially this is important to our European visitors, because our European visitors are sleeping when it's 7:30 in the evening over here. So not to worry. Actually wake up the next day and watch it. It's a great way to spend an evening with the kids and the family. Sit down and watch this show, and it stirs up all kinds of questions. I'll want to invite you to that. It's all happening at epostle.net. This is the branch of the ministry that we have. In His Shoes, of course, has a mouthpiece, and that is Epostle. And this all comes together at the Armenian Church Youth Ministry Center. All kinds of stuff that we're doing over here. Here's Susie to tell you how you can get involved.
Before getting back to the next step with Father Vazgen, I'd like to take this opportunity to remind you that this ministry is supported through the heartfelt donations of listeners like you. Thanks for keeping us in your prayers and partnering with this expanding and dynamic outreach. We are now in the fourth year of broadcasting and pleased that this voice of Armadoxy is being heard by a worldwide audience. The next step is entering homes and communities with a solid message proclaiming God's message of love, forgiveness, and compassion. We look forward to your comments and words of encouragement. Address your comments 24/7 to our email address, feedback@epostle.net, or via our website at epostle.net. During these past 4 years, we have consistently produced the next step as a gift to our listeners. Please consider partnering in this dynamic ministry by making a contribution. By pressing on the donate button on our website, you can set up automatic donations, either weekly, monthly, or annually. Your donation goes a long way in furthering this ministry. Even more, tell your friends and family by sharing the Next Step link or website with them. We're on iTunes and Blueberry, as well as Facebook and Twitter. We are excited about this ministry and invite you to share in our enthusiasm. This is Susie wishing you all of God's blessings in your life. We now return to the Next Step with Father Vazgen.
Okay, if she gives me permission to come back, I will. And I'm going to come back with a topic that, well, first of all, Susie has inspired us to dig deep and to give. Because if you like this ministry, you got to put your money where your mouth is. That's the plain language that we use on the streets of Hollywood and Glendale. And I'm passing that along to you. And I'm actually using that language because what we're doing here on the Next Step with Armadoxy, with what we're preaching, what we're talking about, is really putting our money where our mouth is. And I was alerted to this situation. We were talking with Susie about some various things that are taking place in the community and the general helplessness that people feel. Okay, you're talking about issues of 9/11. You're talking about terrorism. We're talking about issues of genocide, world hunger, and global climate change. And you say, well, what can I do? Can I really make a difference? Yes, you can. And yes, you can by understanding what the power is that you have. It's not one that you have by yourself, but there is power in the collective. Like, it's wonderful that people want to make changes and want to sign petitions and stuff like that. But unless you put some feet on those petitions, it's vaporware. It doesn't exist. But I know it's difficult to put feet on those petitions. It's difficult to do these things. It is a road of sacrifice. It is a road of suffering. But think about what we are being pointed to this September 11. On 9/11 this year, the Armenian Church celebrates the Feast of the Exaltation of the Holy Cross. This is one of five major feast days in the Armenian Church. And look how this year, the year 2011, has been remarkable. It has been a year of timing, a year of not coincidences, but of God's timing, pointing us in these directions. Do you remember what happened last April 24th? The deadliest day in modern history, the day of the Armenian genocide, coincided with the ultimate day of victory, namely Easter Sunday. And are you ready for this? April 24th, tragedy, coincides with victory, Easter. Same year, 2011. 9/11, tragedy, terrorist attack, coincides with victory, the Feast of the Elevation of the Holy Cross. And that's happening in your presence. You're living through that. And so you need to become a living expression of that victory. Because what happens on this Sunday? This is one of five major feast days in the Armenian Church. It's called the Elevation, sometimes Exaltation of the Holy Cross. In Armenian, Khachverats, Veratsuman Sub Khachi. It is in remembrance that the Holy Cross of Christ was held as a prisoner. And when it was released, when it was taken from captivity, it was held up, it was elevated, and it was venerated. People looked up at it, and they saw in there the symbol of victory. And this cross, interestingly enough, was buried in the trash. Now, when you walk into a church this Sunday morning, along with the scent of the incense, you will also smell sweet basil. Because according to tradition, the cross of Christ, when it was found, was growing in this field of trash, underneath all this trash, around the cross was growing sweet basil. And so we bring that sweet basil into the church and offer a very special prayer, a very special hymn, a very special veneration to the Holy Cross with that basil in hand. Because that sweet basil is overpowering. Put it in your salad. What happens? All of a sudden you taste the sweet basil, you don't taste the other things. It is overpowering. Think about it for a moment. The cross of Christ, the victory of Christ is overpowering. It overpowers, it overshadows all the concepts of evil out there. So when we come down to it, we have an opportunity. And where is that opportunity going to be expressed? You say it has to be expressed in the Armenian church. It has to be expressed in the Christian church. But why do people feel helpless, hopeless? Why do people sometimes just throw Christianity out by the wayside and forget about it and not want to take the challenges that Christ gives them? Because they don't see the manifestation of love. They don't see the manifestation of Christ in the church. And so it was a few years ago that a group of young people got together and they said that our expression of faith needs to be expressed by putting our feet in the shoes of others. This is how In His Shoes was born. And so In His Shoes gives you an opportunity. And so when you've got difficulties, look at those difficulties as opportunities for you to rise to the occasion. This is why I'm challenging you. Okay, you're not finding it in the churches. You become the instrument of peace, the instrument of hope. Take the message of In His Shoes. Take the message of Armodoxy, that it is bigger than all of these things that they assemble. Yes, we could build buildings. We can have beautiful stained glass, marble cathedrals, marble altars and walkways and the rugs from the most ancient Persians could come and be resurrected, and they could sew the most beautiful rugs to adorn the floors of our churches. But what good is it if there's no faith? That's what Jesus called us to do, is to have faith and to make the changes in our lives for us to become the instruments of hope, the instruments of peace, and the instruments of justice. 9/11, coinciding with the elevation of the Holy Cross, is our opportunity to reclaim Christianity. In the words of Christ, to make it an opportunity for us to take that log out of our own eyes and start seeing the beauty of the world. Because once you have that log out of your own eye, what happens? You try to look for the speck in your brother's eye and it's not there. You start seeing the beautiful eyes. You start seeing the eyelashes. You start seeing the person for who he or she is. That's what we're called to do. 9/11 is that opportunity to look at the ultimate symbol of Christianity, the victory of the cross. The cross in Armodoxy is not adorned with the body of Christ on it, because that's not where it ended. The cross is the empty cross. It is the symbol of hope. It is the symbol of victory. And there is a victory when you can take yourself above and beyond the the tragedies that are all around you. And much like the sweet basil, let it infuse, let it overtake all the negativity that is around you. My wish for this Sunday is that we wake up, not only as Armenian Orthodox Christians, but as Christians throughout the world, and see that the beauty of crosses, Christ's cross, is the one that calls us to elevate ourselves from the tragedy, for us to look for the beauty that is all around us, for us to understand that all wars in this world, all acts of terrorism, all acts of negativity are a slap in the face to God, because they are acts of a civil war. Oh, a planet in which we are all created equal in the image of our Creator, all as brothers and sisters. And so when we react negatively towards one another, we are reacting towards our brothers and sisters. Peace is attainable. Peace, justice, righteousness, these are not just pie-in-the-sky ideas. They are real. Just as real as the cross was on which Christ gave his life, just as real as that field of rubbish from which they found the cross, just as real as the basil that grew from there and said that, look, amidst all of this darkness, amidst all of this rubbish and trash in the world, there is a victory, there is a hope, there is something that is going to rise. And I'm inviting you right now to get involved. Get involved in these movements that we've put together. We're going to be out there this weekend. I'm counting on you to get involved. If you can't get involved by coming out, please drop us an email and tell me that you're ready to get involved. Our friends throughout the world who are listening need to make this a reality. Because you see, political parties and political action committees, all of these people, they could do just so much. But the power of Christ is limitless, because it is the power of good. And the expression of in his shoes is exactly doing the work that we should be doing as a church, as a Christian community. So here's the invite. Get involved. Do something that will make this world a better place. Call it an in his shoes movement. I'm convinced that if we start adjusting ourselves, if we start aligning ourselves in this way, the word of God will no longer be something to be laughed at, something to be mocked, but will become a mandate for people that we live on this planet and we live with love, with patience, with tolerance, with acceptance for one another. The cross rises. Our sufferings are ended, and the true peace that can come will come. It requires you. It requires all of us. Now this weekend, on September 11th, I'm going to be at two special places. Actually, there's three events coming up. You could check it out on our In Issues website, on Facebook, on Twitter. It's all over there. But let me tell you real quickly. On September 11th in the morning, at 6:58, our Pacific time, when we heard about the terrorist attacks in New York. At that same moment here, 10 years later, I'm going to be offering a prayer in the city of Glendale, one of the largest populations of Armenians outside of Armenia. We'll be gathering in Glendale, where I'll be offering a prayer. And believe it, I'm going to be tying this all together. At 10:30 in Glendale, we're going to have the Holy and Sacred Divine Liturgy, and we're going to be emphasizing the elevation of the Holy Cross. At 2 o'clock our time, Pacific time, we're going to be at the Burbank Mall, another large concentration of Armenians, and again, we're going to be stressing this message. The theme for that day, that is a challenge for me, is going to be, I refuse to hate you. Wow! We're going to be talking about 7 times 77. We're going to be talking about forgiveness. We're going to be talking about moving forward. We're going to be talking about the cross. We're going to be talking about how love can overcome the hatred. That yes, on a day like 9/11, while we remember the tragedy, we're not going to let it fester and overcome. We're not going to let the trash and the rubbish overtake the beauty, because the power of the sweet basil will become all-consuming. And I want to do that. I want to do it with your help. I need your prayers this Sunday, as I will pray for you. And if you're out our way, please do join us. We're going to be at the Burbank Mall between 2 to 4. We're going to have an In-Issues booth where there'll be all kinds of stuff. There'll be videos. There'll be stuff for people to take home and really get into that In His Shoes movement. I'm inviting you to join us. Do it any way you can. If you can, please drop us a line. Let me know what you're up to, what you're doing in your life, in your community. Most important thing is never lose hope. Never lose hope, because the power of good, the power of love, is always more powerful than all of the evil in the world, than all of the helplessness in the world, because it is the power that God gives us and places in our heart. We are at the end of today's podcast. I want to thank you for joining us today. On behalf of the wonderful team that puts this podcast together, I want to invite you to join us throughout the week at inissues.org, as well as epostle.net. That's Apostolic Evangelism for an Expanding and Electronic Universe. And epostle.net, you'll find today's podcast, as well as all the podcasts we've done from the beginning of time. You'll also be connected next Wednesday evening through our broadcast tab to our Questions in Faith series. So a lot of exciting things going on. We invite you to participate with your prayers, with your donations, and of course with your presence at all levels. For the wonderful crew who put today's show together, for Susie, our producer, for Ken, our engineer, and for Ani in absentia, this is Father Boskin inviting you to join us again next week when we will take the next step.
The information and comments presented within this podcast and our website do not necessarily represent the views of the Armenian Church hierarchy, but are presented as a challenge to define the dynamics of Armenian Orthodoxy in all aspects of life. Listening to these shows is habit-forming. Addictive behavior associated with the next step is rarely, if ever, remedied. Rather, the next step is known to relieve and cure common cases of narrow-mindedness, prejudice, numbskulledness, and glaucoma in patients over the age of 20. Results may vary depending on credit rating. Findings are based on double-blind studies conducted in Istanbul and Jerusalem. Side effects include mind expansion, clarity of focus, higher rates of heart palpitations, sensitivity to the pain of others, and occasional nausea. The management and production crew of epostle.net take full responsibility for changes you will experience. Not valid with any other offer.
Hi, I'm Linda. I'm a lot of things to a lot of people. I'm a complete contradiction. I'm a Christian, an Armenian, a wife, a rebel, a mother, sister, daughter, and a friend. I come from a tradition of love and revolution. I seek change and growth and preservation. I seek my place in the Armenian church, my beautiful church that's touched my soul. Are you like me? A mother, father, a wife, a husband, a friend, a lover? Does it even matter? We're all looking for that spiritual compass. So join me, Linda Zadoyan, as we embark on a series of interviews exploring the Armenian church, Orthodoxy, and our lives today.
Compass. This fall on Apostle.net.